Welcome to the Halloween Evil Lives Fan Film Podcast. Today's episode is the fan-picked episode, and they have voted to talk about our movie Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film. Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film is a movie me and my friend Jared are working on. We are currently writing the script together, working really hard on it. It's going to be a great movie. We're just going to give you a general outline. At least I'm going to give you just a general outline of the movie because we don't want to spoil the movie for you. But anyway, to think about Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film, first we have to explore, what does the movie Halloween, the original Halloween, mean? Halloween 1978. As you know, in Halloween 1978, Michael and Laurie were not even related. In fact, if you watch the movie, in the beginning, when Michael Myers is just a little kid, he goes and kills his sister Judith, but you know, there's no sign that he has a baby sister or another sister in the original movie. There's no crib in that house. There's no baby crying. Judith doesn't mention she has another sibling in the house. So if you look at it from that perspective, then, you know, Laurie Strode as baby sister Michael never really existed in the first movie. That's something that came a factor, John Carpenter said, when they wanted him to make Halloween Part 2, which he didn't want to do. He didn't want to write that one. He figured that it's good just to leave Halloween the way it was. Well, Halloween 2018, the new movie that just came out last year, they explore that route of removing that Michael and Laurie are brother and sister. And the only reason why, if you haven't seen the movie, there's going to be some spoilers here. The only reason why Michael Myers ends up at Laurie Strode's is because they had a secondary villain called Dr. Sartain, who drove Laurie's granddaughter, Allison, and Michael to the residence of Laurie Strode. And that, and otherwise, Michael Myers wouldn't even probably went after her, to be honest with you. But Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film, what we're doing is we're going back to that night of Halloween 1978. And then what happens, you know, Michael Myers comes in the present day world, and, you know, he's not going to be going after Laurie Strode because they're not brother and sister anymore. But there's something evil about Michael Myers. He wants to kill people. He's a killer shark, you know. And also, what about Dr. Loomis? Obviously, by this time, he's probably dead, which in our film, in the present day, there is no Dr. Loomis. But Dr. Loomis himself, he has been taking notes on Michael Myers since Michael Myers was the age of 6. And he has a journal, and that journal is going to be in our movie. And he's probably got some interesting theories and concepts on Michael Myers about what might make him tick, you know, or relate Michael Myers to the world of nature, to the world of apex predators in nature, something along the lines of that. And, you know, Michael Myers in the Halloween 1978, he was stalking Laurie Strode, right? And he was stalking her friends. So in our movie, we're going to go along that presence of Michael Myers is going to be stalking, you know, babysitters again. He's going to be stalking young women. He's meant to be there to spread terror, spread fear to his victims. He's there. You know, he's the ultimate predator, Michael Myers. And there's going to be a plot and a story within that, that context and that. And I think that's what Halloween 2018 really was missing. They kind of turned the same old story, even though they said they weren't going to be brother and sister. But they brought Laurie Strode back and her family back. In our movie, you know, Laurie Strode is gone. I mean, why would she stay in Haddonfield? You know, she suffered a traumatic event. She's gone. She moved out of that city. She's long gone. So there's not going to be no Laurie Strode in the movie. We don't really need her as a character because her story was finished in Halloween 1978. So now we have the freedom to create our Halloween universe the way we want to create it. You know, we're writing our script, making our plot, using Halloween 1978 as the source material and spreading our universe out from there. And bringing back Michael Myers to being scary again. You know, he was a little bit scary in Halloween 2018. The only problem is they blew his fingers off. So now he only has one hand. And that's another factor is that in our movie, you know, he will get Bane around, but it's not going to be anything that dramatic. Because I think that just ruins the character. Then what are you going to do with him? You know, he has only one working hand. I mean, so, but like I said, our movie is either we're aiming for a 2021-2022 release because we want to do this movie right. We also would like the fans to enjoy the last movies of the Blumhouse series. Now, as you know, Jason Blum and David Gordon Green said that Halloween ends doesn't necessarily mean that's the end of the Michael Myers character, that they like to do, well, at least Jason Blum would like to do like 10 more sequels or something down the road. But Halloween Ends is just the end of the David Gordon Green Michael Myers timeline there. So, but for us, we like the fans to enjoy those movies. But then we're doing our version of how we feel what would happen after Halloween 1978 and into the present day. And I think fans are really going to like it. They're really going to enjoy it. It's going to be a true horror movie. It's going to have suspense. It's going to have the scares. It's going to have everything that a fan would like about a Halloween movie. We don't want it to be comedy. We don't want no offense to Busta Rhymes. We don't want no Busta Rhymes dressed up as Michael Myers walking around in it making jokes, karate kicking him through windows. We don't want no goofy cops making goofy noises like they did in Halloween 5. We want a straight up continuation of the character of Michael Myers, the feel of Halloween, and you know what happens, he's in modern times now. You know, Michael Myers, he's going after new victims. You know, what's the effect of having smart devices? What's the effect of having smart appliances? You know, will it save your life better if there's a killer coming after you like Michael Myers? You know, stuff like that. We're really making it feel real, like realistic. It's gonna be still, you know, movie fantasy world, but with realistic cues in it, so it can really relate to the audience member. And you know, Michael Myers, he's back. You can't reason with him. He's a killer shark, and he knows what he wants. And probably the only way that you come close to stopping him is you have to find out, you know, more about him. You have to get that Dr. Loomis journal. You have to discover about him, Michael Myers. And, you know, no one really knows why he killed his older sister that night. I mean, they have tried to explain it in The Curse of Michael Myers. And they kind of went a supernatural route in that one. And, you know, some fans didn't like that he was part of some cult named Thorn by Dr. Wynn. And, you know, who knows, maybe I think Dr. Loomis and Wynn worked together. You know, maybe Dr. Loomis might have known that Wynn was in some kind of cult, or that Wynn had trained Michael Myers how to drive a car, you know, in that Curse Michael Myers timeline. But in our movie, it's going to be Halloween 1978, and then Halloween Evil Lives. And you know, the title is very important, Evil Lives, because as you know, at the end of Halloween 1978, they show that Michael Myers had gotten shot, he fell out a window, and then he disappeared, and you hear his breathing through the house. Well, We plan on maybe changing the ending of Halloween 1978 up a little bit. We are planning on using modern technology. You can get green screens. You can get digital modifiers. You can add scenes. You can manipulate scenes. You can add yourself. You can make your own original scene within the movie. And we plan on changing it to fit the plot of our story, to make it make more sense, to make it more dramatic, and to basically say why Michael Myers has been gone all these years. And, you know, we're not going to get too much into that because that's going to be revealed in the movie. And, you know, I'm glad the fans picked this for fan favorite. It's really cool to share this with all of you listening and all of you that are on our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page called Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film. It's just, sent a request that you want to be a friend. We'll add you. We also have a Patreon page. You can support us on that. There's a lot of perks on that. Like, you'll get a podcast commercial free. You'll get first look at our video reviews on our YouTube channel, which we also have, Halloween Evil Lives, the fan film YouTube channel. Also, when we start our Indiegogo and Kickstarter campaigns, there'll be a lot of perks on that. T-shirts, mugs, pins. You also, if you donate a large amount of money, over $500, you'll even get a shout out on Facebook Live and executive producer credits on the fan film. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. And also, people who donate over $1,000, they will even get a walk-on role in our Halloween Evil Lives fan film. So that's even amazing to think about, too, that you could even win a chance to come and be filmed for the movie. Because we're going to need a lot of extras. Once the script is complete, we're going to do a casting call. We're going to set up an email account where people will be sending their information, the actors and actresses with headshots. And we'll also be putting a casting call on an official website with the characters' names and who they'll be playing. You know, the description of the characters and such as that. You know, it's going to be a pretty cool experience and pretty cool to deliver something that the fans will appreciate. Pretty cool to actually finally create a Halloween movie that's going to be true to the spirit of Halloween, true to what John Carpenter envisioned. Because, you know, remember, some of the other movies went way off from when John Carpenter wanted. Especially, you know, Halloween 3, when it started becoming an anthology about some masks and Stonehenge, and if you wear the mask, bugs and snakes will come out of your eyes if you watch the commercial. It went on a really weird route, you know. And, you know, I did like James Jude Courtney's portrayal of Michael Myers in Halloween 2018, but what I did not like is I didn't like that you could see his face a lot in that movie. I feel if something's evil, it's better not to see their face or even their eyes when the Michael Myers mask is on, because they kind of made Michael Myers look old in that movie. He was balding, he had a gray beard, and I'm thinking, like, this is old man Myers. This ain't, you know, too scary when he doesn't have the mask on. So in our movie, we're going to go the route that, no, you will not know the face of evil. You're only going to see Michael Myers when he doesn't have the mask on. We'll put that point, you only see as high as his chest. But when he puts that mask on, that's all you're ever going to see of Michael Myers' face, because he's the face of evil. He has, you know, he has a mission in his own mind of what he wants to do. He likes to kill. He gets his kicks off scaring people. He plays pranks. In fact, in that book I have, The Halloween, The Changing Shape of a Franchise, it says right in there that Michael Myers probably has the mentality of a six-year-old child, because he was incarcerated at such a young age. And that's really, really, really crazy to think about. that a grown man going around with the mind of a six-year-old. The evidence is all the pranks he pulls on Lori in the original movie is something a child would do. In fact, even looking at Bob after he killed him and tilting his head, like wondering why Bob isn't moving anymore. Like, he didn't understand death. He didn't understand what happens after you kill somebody, you know. So if you're going along the lines, the rules of the original Halloween, you can make a pretty scary movie. You can make a really good Michael Myers movie that will please the fans. You're using, you know, what John Carpenter laid out for you. Even though he never planned for a sequel, he gave you the tools that if you wanted to make a sequel, what a scary movie should look like. And you can add your own twist to it, which we plan on doing. And we're going to have, you know, bring Michael Myers. He's scary, you know. He's nothing to make fun of. You don't joke about him. He's going to be coming back to hunt his victims. And there's going to be some people that are probably going to gather up and they're going to want to try to take Michael Myers down because they not want this happening in their city, their town, you know. And that's another good little bit outline of this movie. Haddonfield hasn't celebrated Halloween since 1978 because the city has banned it. And so, you know, bringing Halloween back to the city is probably just enough to become vulnerable to the evil again of Michael Myers. You know, the young people in Haddonfield, they want Halloween back because they weren't born when Michael Myers was rampaging. They could care less. The old people want to keep it banned. The young people want to remove the ban. They want to celebrate what all the neighboring towns, Brussellsville, all those other towns around Haddonfield are celebrating Halloween, and they're the only place that can't do it, and they're tired of it. So it's basically boomer versus the millennials. It's a little bit of a political thing in there. You don't mean to. There's a little bit of that aspect in it. Is like, yes, the young people want it back. The old people don't. The young people win. But then you always should listen to your elders. It's a good story. You know, they always say, listen to your elders. Well, you know, they might bring Halloween back and then be sorry for it. But, you know, that's a great story plot in there. Because why in the heck, in all the other Halloween movies, would Haddonfield want to have Halloween, right? Because Michael Myers killed these people the years before. It's like, well, all we have to do is just not celebrate Halloween. Just like Friday the 13th. Why do they keep going camping at Camp Crystal Lake every Friday the 13th? Well, you know, in our movie, we think logically, yes, it has been banned. But would this ban last? You know, it's been over 40 years. Would they keep this ban going? I don't think so, you know. I think that, you know, they would eventually lift the ban and allow it to happen. Well, you know, would this lifting of the ban make you vulnerable? Would it let evil back in? We're bring evil back to life. Evil lives. You know, you see something correlating with that title. And, you know, Michael Myers is back. Is he more than human? Is he just human? You know, we don't really want to print too much into that, into the movie. We're going to let the audience decide what they think Michael Myers is. You know, you don't want to tell the audience, is Michael Myers human? Is he supernatural? That's something that the audience should decide for themselves. I think that's where Danny McBride fell too when he said Michael Myers is human in their timeline. And he just get you know, threw it out the door that, yeah, Michael Myers is gonna die. And then they already made a title that says Halloween Ends. So obviously Michael Myers is probably gonna succumb to his wounds in that trilogy and die or be beaten to death. So that kind of spoils, you know, their movie trilogy. They also said Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in Halloween Kills. Well, then or Ends too, and it's like, why? Don't even have to tell us that, you know. So in our movie series, we're going to let the audience, you know, determine in their minds what they relate to Michael Myers, what they why they think he kills, you know? What can stop Michael Myers? That's going to be the audience deciding. Theater of the mind is very important in making movies, and we're going to do that. And as for now, you know, this is, you're listening to episode 4 of the podcast, and this was the fan-picked podcast, and I'm glad you're here. Episode 5 will be coming out soon, and episode 5 will give you a little taste here. Episode 5 is going to be my Nightmare on Elm Street pitch to the Wes Craven Estate. As I announced in episode 3, that Wes Craven Estate was taking pitches for a new Freddy Krueger movie, new Nightmare on Elm Street. And I have a great, great plot that I can tell you the whole thing for, because that's not a movie I'm not doing, not filming that movie, so I'm going to tell you everything about that one. But this one, I just gave you little tidbits, little outline. Things can change. Like I said, the script is still being worked on. Casting call is going to be coming out soon. You know, it's going to be pieced together great. It's going to be done the right way. And it's going to probably be what people thought that Halloween 2018 was going to be. So we're going to be delivering something that fans really wanted, that fans were asking for, and I'm really happy about it. And as for that, as we always say, we're out. See you next time.